Miranda Grell is a former senior policy advisor for the Conciliation and Arbitration Service, ACAS. Miranda, good morning.
Good morning.
It's really good to speak to you. Often we hear about ACAS in the midst of these industrial disputes, and it's so helpful to try to get a bit of a glimpse as to what ACAS does and how it works. So I suppose, first of all, when does ACAS tend to get called in?
Well, ACAS has had a long history of being involved in workplace disputes in this country, going all the way back to 1896. It wasn't called ACAS at that point. It's had different names, but in more recent history, it's been at the forefront of our national workplace relations life since about the mid-70s. And that's when it was given statutory powers. It became an independent body, independent of government, even though it received some funding from government. And from that moment on, there is nowhere that ACAS does not influence when it comes to workplace relations in this country. There are 11 offices all around the country, from the northwest to the south, to Scotland, to Wales. Wherever there are workplace disputes, ACAS will be there, whether to help resolve individual disputes for individual workers and employees, or in this case, collective disputes that are about organisations and the workers in those organisations wanting to bring a collective action, as the junior doctors are.
So how does ACAS get involved? Do both sides have to say, look, it's time for ACAS to be part of this?
Well, I think we can see that that appears to be what is happening this week. I understand from the interview that you just played that the BMA has had some informal private discussions with ACAS about the role that ACAS could play. And they have now issued that public statement to let all of us, the general public, know that those conversations have taken place. And that is to, I think, put pressure on the government to say, look, we're being reasonable here. We understand that there's low trust between both sides. We are giving a constructive proposal that a neutral third party, a well-respected independent organisation, our national conciliation organisation, gets involved. And so it's almost next move government, let's see what they do in response.
In terms of, I suppose, the response, should ACAS be involved, does somebody from ACAS or a team from ACAS, you know, you can explain that to us, do they literally get in the room with both sides? They are there mediating, and what does mediating mean?
Yes, that's absolutely what it is. So in this case, it would be called conciliation, collective conciliation. And I looked up the definition of conciliation before I came on to give your listeners a better understanding. And that's about being conciliatory, is showing willingness to end a disagreement or trying to make someone less angry. So what conciliation is about bringing down the temperature, trying to get everybody into a position where they're listening to each other, where they are conciliatory, literally. And collective conciliation is when, as I say, in a collective dispute, you have a team from both sides who normally come together with ACAS in the middle. Now, what will tend to happen is they won't necessarily meet all together straight away, because, as I say, in this particular dispute, the trust issues are so low. So the conciliator in this case may ask both parties if they want to go into separate rooms and then move between the rooms, talking to each party about what their positions are, seeing where there are issues of common ground, seeing what the sticking points are, and then trying to move between them to put the position, seeing if they can nudge, if they can help either side to see the position of the other one, look at it from a different perspective. And at the point where the trust issues may be slightly better, you that through the mediator or conciliator moving between the room, they will then be brought together. And I was in the room, for example, when we had the firefighters dispute about 20 years ago, I think it's a long time ago, with the General Secretary of the Fire Brigade Union and the head of the local government employers. And at that point, they were ready to speak face-to-face with ACAS assistance. And as we know, that dispute was resolved. So I would say ACAS being involved in this would be hugely beneficial, not just to the parties themselves, but to us, the general public, who want to see and enter this dispute.
It's a really fascinating insight, that, because it strikes me that in that situation, it removes the heat, I suppose, by taking both parties away from each other and almost working through this third party, this middleman, if you like, this middle person, who then shuttles back and forth between. That you find that tends to ease this temperature, cool the temperature of discussions.
Definitely, yeah. Because the ACAS conciliators are normally trusted. This would not be the first day that the parties have met the conciliator.
Yeah.
They will have had pre-discussions. They will have had position statements potentially in writing. They will have worked through and checked that the parties are content with the person that ACAS has put forward, or the team of conciliators that ACAS has put forward. And the negotiations, the conciliation wouldn't even start before everybody's at least in a place of conciliation or in a conciliatory mood.
And is there anything off the table, Miranda? Is there anything off the table? Because it strikes me that in these sorts of disputes, there can be a lot of briefing, either online or through the media. You know, there can be graphics posted. We've even seen that from the Department of Health around the junior doctors in the last sort of 24 hours or so. And so these sorts of things, even the language used in the media, militant unions, that's a classic, isn't it? Is there any extent to which ACAS asks that that sort of stuff gets left at the door, or is all of that brought into the room?
I think there are two things going on. We know that both sides have to kind of play to their respective audiences and their galleries, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And in public, potentially put the most hard line of their demands out there, in order that if you're a trade unionist, your members, the junior doctors in this case, think, yes, they're fighting for us. And on the government side, to say to their constituency, their supporters, look, we're not just rolling over, but both sides are mature, and they will know that a lot of that is heat, and it's politics. And we know from conciliations and peace processes, I mean, it's the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, there are always quiet discussions going on quietly. And what you hear out there in terms of foghorns and megaphone diplomacy, well, there's also something called quiet diplomacy. And that's what ACAS gets involved in. So ACAS would not tell either party what public statements they can make, because they understand you've got to bring people along with you. The conciliators are only as good as the support that both parties receive from outside. And therefore, at the beginning of a very high-profile dispute, high-stakes dispute like this, you would expect some megaphone blowing, even when there are quiet discussions taking place. So I think that's perfectly normal. Really, that in public it appears heated, but it may not be as heated behind closed doors.
How interesting. Miranda, thank you so much. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
That's Miranda Grell, former senior policy advisor for the Conciliation and Arbitration Service, ACAS.